Live from the Kumia studio, where the truth is still true, comes a show that gives you a reason to live. There's the music back again. Can't get enough. Catchy tune. Welcome to the show. We're going to start off with a video of a guy dangling his penis out a window. That is great. Wow. Great graphic. And call the kids into the room.
Graphic content. Oh, there it is.
Oh, it's blurred.
Oh.
I don't think that man needs that much blur.
Oh, he was shooting with a paintball. The other guy was shooting with a paintball gun.
Shocking.
That was the other part of that.
Shocking video as Big A comes into the room. Hello, Big A. Producer for the East Side Dave show. Now associate producer, Big A. 12 points. And sitting with me, Thomas Palladino. Hey, Thomas.
Hello, Pat.
At all as well. May I say, you have the most fantastic wife.
Yes.
Not only attractive, not only just a stunner and a sweet person. Today brings, out of concern...
For your health. Yes.
Because snack time is over at Compound.
She heard that you did not have snack time anymore. She was very concerned.
And you know what? That is... no one's concerned. Mandy's not concerned. My wife's certainly not concerned.
Nope.
I haven't gotten a note of concern about my health. Is he getting enough chocolate chip cookies with bacon in them?
That is exactly what she said. Those were her exact words. She said, Pat needs something. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about his health, his skin tone, his complexion.
There's nothing brings it back like some swine and chocolate.
Exactly.
Although I this is non-halal. I have a slight problem with that. I always keep halal, you know.
We knew you were Muslim, but we said, forget it. Yeah. They're worth it.
I know that it's not right to eat cookies while I'm doing this, but...
No, it is right.
I just got them. This is a heavy box, too.
It's a heavy box. And there's brownies in the other one.
Okay. Brownies over here.
There's
secondary box. Listen to this. That weighs 14 pounds.
Yep.
That's 14 pounds of food.
It'll weigh 8 pounds when I'm done with it.
Can't wait to... Well, usually I would send this around, but I just...
But not this, no.
I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it.
Don't share.
It is the birthday of our meteorologist, Jimmy Blackman. I want to wish him a happy birthday. I wish we had something to offer you.
sadly, there's nothing. You could watch Pat eat a cookie.
I mean, you're on the clock right now. You don't want a cookie at this point. Get in your teeth and everything, and he'll be here with the weather. Also, later, we have author and it's exciting to have him here. John Safran is going to be on Skype, and he's down in Australia. And, you know, Australia, it's a magical place.
It's a magical place.
Have you been there?
I have that's one place I've never been. I've been to a lot of places. Australia is not one of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't going to accuse you of not being well-traveled.
Yes, but...
You're not going there, because that is the furthest reach. I mean, that's like you're in the southern
it's the
hemisphere.
Edge of the world. It is the edge of the world.
And a lot of weird things happen, like kangaroo fights.
Yeah, kangaroo fights. They are known for their kangaroo fights.
It's amazing to me. Like, they're like gigantic. Like, they're like rats. But
huge and violent.
Yeah.
And they don't even faze the Australians. They look at them and they're like squirrels to them.
That's a roo. Another roo.
Yeah, they don't even think...
My Australian accent is impeccable, by the way. I could pass as a true Australian, I think.
For a second, I wasn't sure if it was you.
Hey, look at that roo, mate.
It is
dead on. Look at a roo.
Yep. Excellent. That is excellent. That was...
Wow, you guys are really good humoring me. I appreciate that. I hope that the fans down in Australia are... as a matter of fact, the fans I have in Australia, I do owe it to John Safran. He had me on his show Sunday Night Safran years ago. And thanks to anybody who's listening to New York City Crime Report, on account of that, I don't know if anybody... I'm sure we have subs. Drew's in the booth. We have subscribers in Australia.
They actually sent in some videos to us today. Some Australian.
Are you kidding? Oh, this is great! What
Let's
perfect timing!
Imagine this.
Let's have a look at some of these videos that the Aussies sent.
Look at that graphic. There it is. Oh,
look at them hugging each other. They love each other. They're not violent. They're just they badly want to give affection to one another. You know.
They're playing, as like Dog Mom would say. They're playing.
Exactly like a, it's exactly like a human relationship, mm-hmm. you know? You see the push and then the pull in and it's then the push and pull. And like, oh, I see, you kick them in the fucking stomach.
They rest on their tails when they do that. Like, look.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Never would have thought that tail would be, I mean, you think balance, you know, but right, God, that is something else. And that's how you can tell when they are.
There they go.
Now that is
another
adorable.
Day. Just another day in Australia. Now,
I think if you stay out of their way, you know, you don't want to break that up.
No.
Now, have you seen
muscular.
The ones? Now, sometimes they'll actually have bouts where they will have, you know, two of them fighting like this. And there's a whole card, and they have a referee, kangaroo, who stays in there the whole time and refs the fight with... Boom. With, you know, some skill. He does a pretty good job.
Well, you got to...
He wears a striped shirt.
Keep track of the points.
Somehow he doesn't get involved in all this...
Count one out.
It's all a big dick measuring contest, you know? I mean, but thanks to the Australians for saying... Look at the birds. They're not phased.
Nope. This is just the thing.
Think nothing of it.
Yep.
Now, if these beasts were running around free in my country, I'd leave. I'd go to a different country. I would go someplace... I don't care how big the country is. It's not big enough for me and those things.
These are the least dangerous things in Australia, is actually, you know.
Yeah?
The rats. I mean, not rats. The snakes and spiders and... They have things that'll kill you everywhere in Australia.
We have snakes and spiders.
Not like they do.
It's not like...
Not like they do.
Like in India, you know? They always have a cobra come up, like, out of the toilet and bite him in the testicles. That's a bad thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like,
man accidentally eats cobra eggs. I see stories all the time. I want to have a crime report just about India. We did it once before.
Be
I think we're going to do it once again.
That would be great.
And have another India special. I think
stories.
We could probably also do an Australia edition of Crime Report. I'm sure that will be in the works. We did do one. It was only one crime. It was a famous case of a chef who was dating a transgender individual,
mm-hmm.
and who ended up cutting that person up and trying to cook it in a pot. And I say it because it was a body at that time.
Right. It
cutting
was
up the body. So I don't have to gender a body, I don't think.
No.
At any rate, he was caught because of the smell.
Right.
And he's, oh, there's an old pot that's making that. I think we probably get the idea on these kangaroos. You know, one that I always like to look at, though. That one where that kangaroo is raping a koala.
Have I seen
Just that? Type in kangaroo rapes koala.
That's, yeah. The audience
Never
needs to see that.
Never seen such a video of it. hoping, you know what I mean?
Hoping that it exists.
Like, maybe it does.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't think I've seen that one.
And Bobo, while we find that video, is in the studio. Hey, Bobo, how are you? It's like mighty dark over there in the stands tonight. You guys are taking it real...
incognito.
Kind of, yeah, like it's Godfather 2 lighting. Ah, and you have, the mic, right?
Right, talking to the mic.
Yeah.
It worked out that way.
Yeah, and I don't want you to move the mic. I want you to lean over the whole time, just like that.
Okay.
Good. Now, what you have in your hand there, an alarm clock?
It's...
Lean
this
over.
This was given out at a minor league game, at a Brooklyn Cyclones game, a Keith Hernandez
don't sit down.
Alarm
Stand
clock.
Up. Stand back up.
The Keith Hernandez talking alarm clock.
Yeah, and so it wakes you up in the morning with...
Yep,
yep.
Wake Keith, up to the voice of Keith Hernandez.
Is it Keith Hernandez's actual voice?
That's what he's saying, yes.
It's his actual voice.
Okay, so he recorded that.
Yeah, he recorded
that. And what kind of, what sorts of things does he say?
Well, one of the lines it says, I'm Keith Hernandez.
Oh, that's the first thing that a Keith Hernandez impersonator would say.
Right.
If you know what I mean? That's what Rich Little used to open all his impressions with. This is Archie Bunk, you know, and it was just like it's a technique. But this is Keith Hernandez. Now, when you hear that, is it going to be loud and jangly enough to wake you up?
I don't know what, I've seen video of it, actually, of this
microphone,
alarm clock.
Bo.
I've seen video of this alarm clock in action.
Oh, we all have.
Never actually...
I've never heard
it
in
person.
Well,
he just now got it. It was brought as a gift. Now, would you want to try it out?
Set it for...
No,
let's get open it up.
You know, in 175 years, it'll be worth twice as much as
right,
free.
Right.
I'm going to use... Hold on. Let me open this
Not that
thing
it's
up.
Not a novel thing. And, of course, there's the very lovely Elizabeth, your wife, sitting there. Oh, my gosh. Back in the Rogues Gallery.
Indeed.
Trying to remain safe. It's all fine, Big A there. Yeah. So,
Does it need batteries, Bobo?
I think it comes with battery.
Okay.
Okay, great. Oh, well, set it for. Oh. Okay. Well, what kind of batteries do you need?
It needs
standing.
I believe it needs double A's.
Double A's. I got you covered. If Big A doesn't have some double A's. No, that's not a, he's got at least a C cup. I've got the same thing. I mean, I can't talk.
Let's find Bobo some double A's.
Find Bobo some batteries music. Some fun. How many do you need, Bobes?
Two.
Oh, here you go.
It needs two.
The Energizer right here.
Here we are, Bobo. We got him. Come
in
over
in my
here.
Hand. Follow my voice. There you go. Bobo, ladies and gentlemen.
There he is.
Grabbing his batteries.
Watch the wires.
No one grabs batteries like Bobo grabs batteries. You've seen the commercials. Of course, the CD is Bobo finally makes an album, and you can get it at the internet.
I've heard many, many good things about Bobo's album.
Okay. Now, the guy we were going to talk to tonight, John Safran, is... I'm really excited. He's been all over Australian TV, you know, and he's done the John Safran versus God and shit like that. Mm-hmm. He's always trying to get to the bottom of things like religion, race. Exactly.
Small things. Yeah.
It's a lot of little personal stories and insights in a gigantic topic, which is really. That's about the best we can all hope for. Mm-hmm. You can't sum all that stuff up. But before that, some of the shit he's done has been like, posing as a black guy, for instance,
Oh.
He was all made up.
They let you do that in Australia?
Well, for the purpose of research, for journalism, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not journalism.
The entertainment, and I'm sure that he's glad that he's also... I wouldn't say he's. I've quit show business. I don't know if he has. But we'll be getting in touch with him pretty soon. In fact, we're going to set the clock. Are you setting the clock, Bobo?
Yeah, there's no instructions on it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. It looks pretty basic. I think you'll be fine.
Elizabeth, do you want to? There it is.
Rise and shine. I know what you're thinking. Who does this guy think he is? I'm Keith Hernandez, and I hope you have a great day. Pretty boy. Good.
You see, Lord, that is creepy.
It is. It's creepy.
And weird. Get up, pretty boy. Pretty boy.
And I still don't think that would wake me up if I was really asleep. That's just for somebody who wants to hear Keith Hernandez's voice.
And that's Bobo.
And that's obviously.
Wow, that is.
Oh, and there's a real okay. All right. Well, there's
that also is not going to wait. a child pushing a toy in the hall.
On the bright side, Pat, I did find not a kangaroo raping a koala, but making some sweet love.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That's good. It exists.
I mean, it all depends on who you talk to. It's a he said, she said.
No music. You ask, and the internet reciprocates.
Look at this. This is pre-rape.
Things are going to get
non-sexual foreplay.
What does she have on her face?
The koala's like, look, I'd be fucking humans, all right?
Why?
Look at my girlfriend here. You think I'm going to give up any of this ass? This sweet koala ass?
Yep.
And what would you call that?
It looked a little interested right there.
This is.
I think the rape must have been later. What's with the lady with? Only one word for it.
Yep. Yep.
That's what I call rape.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to some videos then. How about that? What's next on video, Drew?
Oh, 1 second. Let me just get a good one for you.
Okay. I mean, don't look too hard. They're all pretty good. And the best thing is, John Safran's new book is about the alt-right and this. It's about extremists. It's called. Depends what you call an extremist.
Mm-hmm.
And he hung out with extremists on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has this book just in time for the 1 year anniversary of Charlottesville.
It's good time.
So if you haven't bought all your Charlottesville annual celebration gifts, for everyone.
Tiki torches.
It's not too late. To get your Unite the Right gift.
You need this. You need a tiki torch.
You need a new pair of shoes.
A pair of shoes. Perry polo shirt.
No. Not put Proud Boys there. They were not there. Proud Boys shouldn't go.
That's, I know. No, no, I know. And but they were all wearing polo. They were all wearing polo shirts.
God damn it! Can you believe this though?
Oh no!
Twitter's thrown Gavin McInnes off of Twitter.
I know.
So if you were following Gavin, just start following me.
Same thing.
I'm going to do my best to give you a very Gavin-like experience.
You're going to
change. I think that you'll
grow a beard thing. With the twirl on the end?
Facial hair. There's more to me than facial hair.
It is. You're going to need some, like, Orville Redenbacher suits?
He doesn't even return my text. I don't know why I bother. Fuck Gavin. Don't worry about it. Throwing off Twitter. That is bad, though, because they're throwing him off for no reason now. Of course, Alex Jones, he's gone.
Well, they kept Alex Jones on Twitter.
Well, on Twitter, yeah, but I mean, that's the least of it.
It's
like, what do you
so
need
strange
Twitter for if
yeah,
you've got nothing to promote?
Got nothing else.
I mean, he does have his whole thing going on. I hear business is booming after this.
He said he got 5.2 million new subscribers.
So fuck these people.
Mm-hmm.
But the to next fuck thing, with Alex Jones. Thing, you can't win.
The next thing is going to be that they're going to go after the ISPs to get him to get his domain banned. That's going to be the next thing.
The ISPs.
Yes.
How about we talk about a shootout on the Pennsylvania highway?
Let's look at Philadelphia. That's right. The Philadelphia. I forget what they're called. But on the NFL, they have a name. They are the Philadelphia somethings.
So the cops pulled over this guy for speeding.
This is going to be good.
Started acting erratic.
I could tell this is going to be good.
They did a field sobriety test when all hell broke loose.
Okay, yeah. He's obviously failing the test.
Or he's faking to throw them off guard.
Something is going on. Man.
He had a gun.
Did he grab the guy's gun?
I think he didn't want to be searched.
What the? Jesus Christ, this is horrible.
Whoa. I got him.
The man's lawyer argued that he feared for his safety.
What?
Feared for his safety. Well, by being behind the wheel, he was causing a dangerous situation.
Yeah, that's.
I'm sorry, guy's kicking a car. It's so fucking funny. The guy was charged for attempted murder, charged with it, and convicted, I believe. Two counts of attempted murder.
Yeah, it says that he got a hold of a gun, shot one of the cops four times.
What?
That's what's about to happen, I guess.
Okay,
spoiler alert.
Okay.
Ruined it.
It's the news, but it would have been in the headline. He's punching the guy. The guy will not give up.
He clearly has to subdue the situation.
This is why Rodney King. You know what I mean? If you ever wondered why, this is why.
Mm-hmm.
Stop resisting.
Stop resisting. You could have just had a DWI.
Or, Christ.
You literally could have just had a DWI.
Is Matt Eisner still out there? Can you come? If Matt's out there,
I wish he would. Oh, he pulled a gun from his fucking car.
Holy shit. He's just going to calmly get in and drive away. Motherfucker.
Oh, God, that cop was shot.
Whoa.
Yeah, my God.
See, now he's shooting them. They're shooting him. The other cop must be taking out the back window.
What the hell is he doing? Oh, he's firing out the back window.
Yeah, or I think the cop is firing into the car.
Oh. I see smoke. I saw smoke coming out. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And it's in Philadelphia, huh? If it's not That's AIDS, present. It's some shit like this, you know?
And off he goes.
And, all right, well, you could drive on ahead, sir. We'll
catch up with you later.
You win this one.
he's actually sitting in jail right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have a live feed to, no, actually, we don't.
Unfortunately.
It's too bad. Wouldn't you love to talk to that guy?
Yeah, the weather is knocking out the satellites.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, the weather is tremendously bad here. It's like there's some sort of a bad storm or something coming in. Can we? Are we prepared to? All right. Well, we'll go to weather momentarily. By the way, there's a video, and I don't even want to show it, of these guys yelling at a cop.
Oh,
there's,
yeah.
You seen that one?
I've seen it. The Antifa people, you mean?
No. These guys in a building in the Bronx. They answer to call. They show up. They go up. They take care of business. And then, you know, of course, the call. Well, everything's fine now, so no big deal. And then they're leaving, and they're like, fuck you, suck my dick. These guys just like, get out of my building. I don't understand. There used to be a time when it was there was so much status in law enforcement. You know, it meant something to be a cop. People respected the police. Now, who wants to, who would want, if you were a kid seeing this, it's like
who
such a.
Who would want to be in that position?
And not be able to do a damn thing about
it. That's the thing. They can't do anything about it.
I mean, they just haven't been backed. And it doesn't like, what, would you want to lose your job? There was a guy in Arkansas now. Population 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
He, I'm going to get to that story later. Do we have a connection with John Safran yet?
Not yet. Stand by.
Okay, great. Sorry to ask you to do 10 things at once.
What do we want to start with? We could do the weather.
Okay, let's do the weather and then and try for Safran.
Stand by.
And I know you can only do one of those at a time. So, wow. You know, if you want to know what's going on outdoors, you have to listen to somebody who does weather, and we have that because we provide a valuable service, and that is meteorologist Jimmy Blackman.
Hey, everybody. That's screen. Okay, looking at the Doppler...
Mike, Jimmy.
Oh, you need a mic.
Grab a microphone from right there.
Oh. See, normally he's used to another network where they take care of him with a... Lavalier
mic.
Yeah, but that's okay. Hold it as if it's your clicker. This will be another light. By the way, this is such an accurate weather forecast. It's not even a forecast. It's a fivecast. Take it away, Jimmy.
Okay, looking at the Doppler earlier, I noticed a
high-pressure system we've been watching. As it develops, it will be attracting even more attention as it moves out. Okay, hold on. Okay. You can see from these images, it looks four, but it's really seven. You're gonna want to watch out for it as it meets the low-density tidal airflow. And that's over here. Somewhere there. There we go. Okay. Streaming up from the Gulf. Okay, that's over here. The last remnants of Katrina just breaking off into the jet stream. A memory forming over the Midwest. Precipitation is recommended. An alert is in effect, a type of warning, particularly one, which may encourage preparation locally now. Gravity will hold steady for the next few days. Looking for it to dip as Friday approaches. Believe it or not, we will be seeing the 9.805s by the weekend combined with the summer lake effect. This is going to be something you won't notice. But you'll want to bring an umbrella on the rainy days, particularly if you're going to be out enjoying that beautiful sunshine and high temperatures this weekend. We're seeing an all-time low in the weather, and with the gravity finally breaking off, and with the murders down by the rivers and all that cool, cool water, break out the deck chairs, throw them over the porch, and just have a few cold adult beverages. Good weekend to take the kids for a drive or make some long-term plans to be out in that sunshine and rain here in the city. I'm your meteorologist, Jimmy Blackman, and it is the Crime Report AccuWeather 5-cast.
Nice. Thank you, Jimmy.
Nice. That was good.
Yeah. Very thorough. Yeah. Very thorough.
Why was it 4 degrees in Los Angeles?
That's a good question. I think it must
the
be...
The gravity. It was the gravity.
There's no
he
gravity.
Said it. Yeah, he said the gravity.
It's gravity.
The flying gravity.
It's a very subtle fluctuation there. Matt Eisner's joined us. Thanks, Matt.
I'm eating bacon chocolate chip cookies. Pat, you know how to get a guy in here.
Follow that trade. Isn't that delicious? Those are amazing.
Yes. Chocolate chip cookies with bacon?
Yeah.
It's great.
So if there's one thing that you would think doesn't need anything, doesn't need bacon, the one thing that might not need bacon... besides bacon as a chocolate chip cookie, and yet,
yep,
still better. Are we? We have John Safran. Oh, that's amazing.
Nice.
Hey, John, how are you, man? Very nice to see you. The author of the brand new book. Now I can't hear him, so I was trying to. Has he said anything yet? Skype is still a mystery somehow. He's in Melbourne, Australia, and oh my God, look at you. The book is Depends What You Mean by Extremist, and it's very, very good. Been enjoying it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah, it's in fact, I would have rather had the audiobook. I enjoyed listening to you read your first book. God, there's so many different ways to say this particular lyric, but it's God will cut you down, I believe, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and it's you're a journalist now. Have you stopped with show business?
No, not at all. No, I still do gags and stuff like that. I'm doing a live show in Melbourne. So yeah, so something in between being Louis Theroux and being an idiot.
We're all looking for that sweet spot, right?
Yeah, depends on your project demands.
Yeah, you stopped doing Sunday Night Saffron, and I thought maybe it was because you had decided to, I don't know, in my head I was thinking maybe something permanent, you know, like books, they seem like they last forever, and you have written the two.
No, I was on the youth network in Australia, Triple J, and, you know, you finally hit an age where you just can't get away with it anymore, and they kind of boot you out.
Right, the youth network.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that day's coming. No. I don't know if I ever had that one going for me, but, John, you're a journalist, but you're the way you do it is a little different. You have this radical way of getting information, which is talk to people.
Yes, I have no other option. I always feel I can't write anything if I'm just at home on the keyboard.
Right.
And so even though it looks like I'm putting in a lot of work, it's really, I have no other option. If I had the option to be lazy, believe me, I'd do it. If I had the option just to sit there on my typewriter and not, or my keyboard and not go out there, I would, but I don't. So, and it ends up being, because I'm really bad socially if I'm at a party and not knowing how to go up and talk to people, and I'm just standing there. So this marries the two, where it forces me out there to, for instance, go down to a pub where I hear these neo-Nazis are going to be hanging, and I know I have to get a story because I've signed a book contract. So it kind of forces me to go over there and start talking. So everything ties together nicely.
Yeah.
Except for the bit about hanging out with neo-Nazis.
Right. That's the part you do have to do. Yes. And your book, it's about extremists on both sides, though. So you talk to a lot of Muslims and you talk to a lot of Nazis. That's accurate, right?
Yeah. Fortunately for me, but sort of like bad news for society, I happen to be hanging out with this radical Muslim dude who... he was already radical, so that's why I'd started talking to him. But then whilst I was writing the book, he allegedly, I have to say this because the court case isn't closed, he allegedly tried to escape Australia to allegedly go join ISIS. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so that wow. was good news for me.
So, yeah, that's the real deal then. Yeah, that's you found quite an extremist there. Not just a Muslim, but an ISIS Australian. And that's, I guess, more and more common. People convert. Mm-hmm. And you spoke to some converts as well. And then was this guy a convert?
Yes. He was a convert. When people who become converts take it so much more seriously.
Always.
Yeah,
but yeah. I guess you have to. Like I'm Jewish, and every Jewish convert like takes it so seriously. I have to like tell them I'm going, you know, if you're Jewish, you don't actually believe this stuff. And
that's what I love about Jews. They figured it out. They figured out how to be Jews and atheists at the same time. It's genius. So when you were talking to, people in the Klan, Nazis, did you have a wide variety of them? Do you have a lot of Nazis in Australia?
Well, that was what was surprising, is that a bit like with the suddenly you've got the alt-right in America, where for years, like probably for a decade or longer, like the Klan was yesterday's news. Like they were hilarious and it was like worth going down there for a story, but they weren't part of the zeitgeist and they were a bit embarrassing. It was a bit embarrassing to be a Klansman. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, just bizarrely, the reboot buttons hit and suddenly there's Pepe the Frog. Suddenly there's all these young people. It's not only 60-year-old men in Mississippi suddenly it's kids with cool haircuts who are on 4chan and like taking the piss and have good senses of humor. And suddenly there's this, reboot that no one expected. And a similar thing kind of happened in Australia a bit earlier, where I hit the street because there was this anti-Islam rally that was going on. And I just noticed all these people that you wouldn't have expected at a far-right rally. For instance, people who aren't white were getting involved. And so that really interested me, that there were like Chinese Australians and Indian Australians and African Australians, usually because they were Christian, and they were cozying up to these white nationalists in their mutual distaste of Muslims. So yeah. I wanted to explore how white nationalism had become multicultural.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, well, you know, I think Trump is like the Islam of politics, you know, that like he polarizes people to that extent, just as the, they'll unite the Muslims and, against the Muslims, they'll unite and then also unite against Trump in a similar way. Feminist Muslims coming together, I mean, putting together what would seem like putting aside insurmountable differences, you know. I don't think they would get along. And gays, too. I find that odd, you know, that they would be in a coalition like that, but I guess that's just the power of the president.
Yes, and they love it. The far right love it because they think it provides them with a bit of cover. It's like, oh, how can we be racist when we've got this like gay guy here? Or how can we be racist when we've got this Jewish racist on our side?
Matt Eisner. John, as we look at, they just had a Unite the Right rally, and 12 people showed up.
Right.
To represent the far right. So as we look at this, and what we paint is the far right, right? And what we paint is the far right. So from your point of view as an Australian, as you look at America and you look at the extremes on the right and the left, what's your opinion of which is the more dominant ideology?
Oh, well, I think there's like the mainstream, and then I think there's what's happening on the fringes. So the way what I found interesting in my book was how people on the absolute fringes, so on the far right, people who wouldn't even get a right-wing crowd, because if right-wing people knew what they were on about, they'd just think, whoa, these people are too strange and extreme and weird. And how
that's Anthony Cumia.
And so how they sort of recast themselves and be a bit dishonest, like try to figure out what they can get away with to try to appeal to the mainstream right. And so that's why Islam was a big thing, or anti-Islam was a big thing in Australia, because even though the leaders were actually sometimes, you know, had a history of neo-Nazism, they knew they wouldn't, like, it would just be too weird. They started talking about black people and eugenics, or if they started talking about
that's weird.
Jews and the Rothschilds and the banks, stuff they actually really believe in. But they realized if they just framed it as, oh, we've got a problem with halal certification and we've got a problem with terrorism, they could kind of try to pitch themselves to the more mainstream right, even though that wasn't really what they were concerned about. Like, they weren't that really devastated about halal certification.
Sure.
They're more devastated about black people and eugenics and Jews and the banks.
Well, that's interesting. Like, I look at Sweden, and they have so many illegal immigrants coming in, and they basically rob the government. You know, they have a very generous welfare program there, and you know, besides their concerns with crime and stuff like that, supposedly it just depends on who you talk to, if there's a rape epidemic there or not. Yeah. There seems to be statistics that support that, but anyway. It's one culture that doesn't seem quite ready for the other culture, and the culture coming in is not seemingly very compatible, you know? So is there not an issue there where people become concerned about their country?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's just so many things going on. Like, I think in a lot of cases, who wouldn't want to just become more like the West? So you have people who immigrate and they just enjoy it, and they're not really dark on the West at all, and they do prefer watching Netflix and eating McDonald's and everything. So, but obviously, you do have people on the fringes that are up to no good.
Yeah.
And that the Secret Service has to crack down on.
Well, there must be a way. And, of course, I know it's all over the place. One thing I admire about your work is that you never stop being funny. You know, it's easy for a lot of people when they go into this stuff to lose their sense of humor, you know, and just be some sort of a pundit. And you really don't seem to take a not only not take a side, but you kind of like bust everybody's chops. It's real fun to read.
Yeah, again, that's a practical matter in that I don't know how to write except, like, suddenly I go, well, what's writing and what's the end of a chapter and what's the, and as soon as I say, oh, it just has to be funny, suddenly there's a structure to it.
Yeah.
And so suddenly I know when to end a chapter, or suddenly I sort of know what I'm doing. Suddenly I know what highlights to select from the interview. Oh, I'll just put in the funny stuff and I won't even kind of really worry about why it's funny. I'm sure I'll work it out by the end of it.
Yeah, yeah. And do you have an idea where you're going when you start, you know, a book like this? Or do you just go, well, I mean, just go where it leads? Because it seems as if when you're writing that you're kind of just going from one person to the next. And it's almost like a trail of clues or something.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just kind of trust my instinct and kind of like try to go with the flow a bit. And often what I propose to the publisher at the start ends up being slightly different by the time you get to the end.
Right. Not a problem, though, I'm sure.
Well, I'm fascinated. John, what do you think? Because Australia seems to me they've been very much opposed to immigration with Christmas Island and taking these immigrants and trying to create the idea of we don't want people coming here, particularly illegally. Well,
they tricked us into taking 1,500 of them.
Right. Yeah. So
mentally ill ones.
As you look at America and this call now for no borders, accepting mm-hmm. everyone, and Australia seems to have been doing the opposite. Where do you land on this?
Well, I noticed something interesting when in America, when there was the controversy about kids being dragged away from their parents at the borders or whatever. And that, because I like to listen to all these radical fringe, you know, podcasts and
CNN and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like CNN, MSNBC.
And I noticed that even really, for instance, Richard Spencer, the alt-right figurehead, when he was talking about it, he still gave lip service to, oh, this is awful. Like, I think he said something along the lines of, listen, no one likes to see kids taken away from them. I don't even like it. It affects me or whatever, but you've just got to think about the bigger picture, whatever. And then you had Ben Shapiro, who's conservative, arch conservative, and he said a similar thing. He was like, listen, we've got to do something about this, but obviously it's upsetting to me to watch these kids. In Australia, no one on the right has to give that lip service because all this stuff is happening on these islands.
Right, it's not
separated.
On your backyard. It's not right in your backyard.
We need an island.
We have an island that we stopped using, unfortunately.
Right, please go ahead, John.
And the press aren't allowed on the to like cover it. So, I just found it kind of ironic that it seemed like the alt-right figurehead had to give more lip service to empathy than just the regular newspapers in Australia.
Well, you would think that like a guy like that would be, you know, irredeemable as he is. You know, I mean, his fans, it is what it is. You know, why soft pedal it at this point? But it's also, you shouldn't have to say that like, of course, it's bad for children to be taken away from their parents. Nobody asks them to come here with their kids. Right. They are committing a crime.
Come here with a kid.
Or a
whether
kid.
Whether it's their kid or not.
Whether it's their kid or not, which
know,
is another thing.
That's the other thing, that we don't know whose kid they are. I mean, these are traffickers. These are people who show up at the border, and they have to take them away for the kid's own safety for a period of time just to figure out who they're there with.
Yeah, they don't offer an alternative necessarily, but John, when you see these kind of issues get blown up like when we're here, we're just inundated with it. I mean, like it'll be a solid. It was June was pretty much given to that,
mm-hmm.
and Trump's popularity went up 9 points in the Hispanic community.
Right.
So it's you kind of see. Well, maybe the left is underestimating the Hispanic community a little bit, thinking like, oh, they'll side with us on this emotional issue. But in reality, they like a great deal of distance between themselves as American citizens and anybody who wanders across the border. Do you think that the media underestimates the people that read it?
Well, not in Australia. In Australia, even like the Labor Party, which is our version of the Democrats, they're really strong on on border policy, and there is they're totally nervous about saying anything, and yeah, so in Australia it seems a bit different. No one wants to take the risk to kind of rock the boat or upset these conservative voters, not even the left-wing party.
Mm, yeah. Well,
you know, if you look at 10 years ago in this country, even, you look at what people like Dianne Feinstein or even Obama said 10, 15 years ago, they were pretty much on the exact opposite of where the mainstream of the Democratic Party is now, which is kind of what makes it scary, is that they've evolved 180 degrees in such a short period of time that it makes people on the right here very, very worried about where they're going to end up with this, where they're going to be in another 10 years.
That brings up another question I have for you, John. How long is the public's memory in Australia? Because here it's about a day and a half.
Right.
Oh, God. I wish it was a day and a half. Yeah. I reckon it's about a day. I'm sure, like in America, it's very confusing to try to get your bearings about what the public are thinking, because everything's so fragmented. There's so many Twitter accounts, and everything's blown out of proportion on Twitter. Suddenly, five people write, like for instance, Ruby Rose, who's a lesbian Australian actor, and she got assigned the role of Batwoman or something, and then five Twitter accounts start complaining because the original Batwoman, the character was Jewish, and they should have given it to a Jewish lesbian. Not a Jewish lesbian.
They should have given it to an actual Batwoman. Yeah, I mean, it gets ridiculous. Yeah,
that's like, where does it stop?
I'm sorry.
Five people tweet about it, then suddenly it goes to the top of Twitter, and then because it's on the Twitter main page, suddenly articles are written about it in the legitimate press, and suddenly this sort of thing that's nothing. I was actually going to go around yesterday up and down my street, because as well as being Jewish, I live in the most Jewish street in Melbourne.
Congratulations.
I was going to see if I could find anyone who cared that Batwoman was not being played by a Jewish actor. I kind of doubt it.
I wonder.
Yet it gets blown out of proportion like it's a story. And
She quit Twitter. Yeah. And it's funny because if you would think that if there would be any industry where a Jew would have no problem getting work. I mean, my God. It's how did you find a non-Jew to do the part? I'd see their point. They had to look hard for that.
They
specifically did it. Now, Gavin McInnes just got thrown off of Twitter. Are you familiar, John?
Yeah, he used to run Vice, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He founded it, and now he's like kind of a conservative guy, I guess you would say. Started this group called the Proud Boys, and they just, I mean, threw them all off. And they're not giving reasons at this point. Do you have any concerns about social media kind of, taking its cues from the left and taking action when it might not quite be justified?
Oh, I think my concern would be more about how they're arguably public utilities now, where if you're thrown off the three big brand name social media accounts, it's like being thrown off the postal service or having your telephone disconnected. And it
forums,
does seem a bit worrying. If I was radical on any side, like I'd kind of be worried about how this was going to come back to bite. So, for instance, in the case of Alex Jones, If you were to give an average person to sit down and listen to 20 hours of Alex Jones at any point in his career, I don't think any people would say, "Oh, he's a white nationalist." Like, he doesn't talk about that. He's like a conspiracy theorist, and he speaks nonsense. But he's so it's kind of like weird that someone's kicked off in that circumstance for basically being a radical, even though he does speak nonsense, I admit. And so you kind of wonder, like, just left-wing people are going to be kicked off in a slightly different environment. I can absolutely imagine, for instance, Ted Cruz and these conservatives just speaking to Zuckerberg at one of those, things where they're up there wagging their finger at him and saying, you say you're not biased, prove it. You know, kick off these anarchists or whatever who've threatened violence. And them, Zuckerberg, making a strategic decision going, well, I should do that because I've got to look unbiased and it's got to look good for business and I'm being pressured by Ted Cruz. And so I easily can imagine people with the opposite ideological views of like Alex Jones just being booted off the public utility for being slightly radical.
Yeah, well, I mean, slightly radical. I mean, I don't know what Antifa's doing there, but here they, you know, they attack people. They show up. They're always labeled counter protesters, which is something that the press does to sort of make it sound as if anything the right is doing is a protest.
Counter protesters confused by strong police presence.
Right, right. Yeah,
they attack the police.
They don't attack the police. They clash with the police.
Police and
counter protesters clashed. And you know, Alex Jones. It's interesting to hear your response on that. I've listened to Alex Jones some. I you know, he's right a lot of the time. I'm not an Alex Jones historian, but I find him to be credible, which is probably a sign. I've listened to just enough Alex Jones. Would you mind taking a question from a caller, John?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's go to Zach on the line.
Happy birthday, John.
Oh, thank you.
Such a moron. I meant to tell you that. Happy birthday. I'd offer you a cookie.
I wanted to ask you about the Apex Gang in Australia. I understand it's hybrid between African immigrants, Muslim immigrants, and the bikie gangs, and it's kind of a crime epidemic, especially around the Melbourne area, as far as I understand.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I've never heard of it having the Muslim involvement there, but I'm actually doing a bit of research into this at the moment for a fiction thing I'm writing, and there definitely is. I mean, the interesting element that you find out is that there are people who are directing these kids to go do their awful crimes, like robbing jewelry shops, but they're often not African Australians themselves. It's just these sort of young men who have, you know, they're committing crimes, and yes, they're committing bad crimes. In some cases, but
home invasions. Yeah, yeah. I'd heard in some cases home invasions sometimes.
Yeah, I think from what I understand, it's because these days if you want to nick a car, it's not putting a coat hanger down the window anymore. The way you nick a car is by just getting the keys, and so you break into the house and just check around the bowl on the coffee table or the bedside table.
Rape everybody there and then, you know, take the keys.
I don't know about that.
Well, so, yeah, of course.
We do.
With guns sometimes, you know, they'll just carjack as well. I mean, but I guess in this case, it's
guns don't exist in Australia.
They got rid of all of them.
I thought they still have them.
I thought they got rid of them.
Tell us the deal with guns, John. What is it like there now? Because I know about the laws and I know kind of what happened, but like, what's it actually like?
Oh, I don't think there's too many gun problems in Australia compared to America. Basically, like everyone's quite confused by America, except for Americans. We're like scratching our heads.
That's how we like it.
Yeah, well,
we want it that way.
Yeah, like you wouldn't even find too many conservative people who are on the side of, let's change the gun laws and, you know, let's increase that. It's just, it's a totally different cultural background. And so I understand in America, because there's so many guns there already, that it's hard to change the culture. But I think in Australia, even when they changed the gun laws, the culture was different. Like, you just didn't have most people having guns in their houses or anything. So it didn't seem that dramatic.
Yeah, I think I know why you guys don't have that kind of culture. Your right is more center right, and I think it's because no Trump. You don't have Trump. You don't have our president. I feel bad for you guys not having him. I've never been more apt to say the Pledge of Allegiance than I am now. He's like the best host the country's ever had, you know. And I find him to be just, I'm fascinated with him. I think
He's delightful.
I see him say things, you know, and then I see the way the press covers it, and I go, well, that doesn't seem accurate. So he remains kind of an underdog somehow, an underdog billionaire. Go figure. I'm curious. I have a feeling what your response might be, but like, what do people generally seem to think when you talk to radicals on both sides? Do even the radicals right there like Trump?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the interesting things I found when I was down there researching my book is, especially when Bernie Sanders was still in play and Trump was obviously in play, both the far left and the far right, they loved how the public were responding to these radical people who were outside of conventional acceptability. And so, for instance, on the far left, they were happy. I was there. I was hanging out with these socialists who were organizing the protest the night after Trump got elected, and they were buzzing. They were excited because they were like, Trump asks the right questions, which is why are workers screwed over, but he gives the wrong answers. But they were still so excited because they said, this shows the general public is open to ideas outside of the usual frame.
Mm. Definitely. I mean, his election.
And it was the same with the right wingers loved Bernie Sanders for the same reason, where it was like, this is just exciting, finally. Because think, before Trump, everything was like, everyone was sure it was going to be a Koch brother, you know, it was going to be one of the Bushes. And that was the logic of how politics works. And then when both Trump and then Bernie Sanders, although he was knocked down, it was showing that, oh my God, this can, we can, there might be an opportunity for us radicals here on the street if the general public is open to this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If they'll get behind these guys, then maybe they'll get behind anything. I guess was the idea. Trump was just, I mean, the way he campaigned, it was so, hardworking, aggressive. I don't understand how he can relate so much better to everyone, you know. And I think that a lot of people were behind Bernie because he wasn't Hillary. As well, is Hillary popular on the left in Australia? I mean, because nobody likes her here.
No, she toured Australia on her book thing, and I noticed amongst my friends on Facebook who, you know, for instance, if they run book festivals or they're part of the literary industry or whatever, like they all turned up, got their photo taken with her, and put it on Facebook, and they're all excited. Yeah, she is quite popular in Australia, especially because we had a politician called Julia Gillard, who was briefly the Australian Prime Minister, and a lot of people think, you know, she got a bad deal because of sexism, and so they sort of connect Hillary's story with Julia Gillard's story and say, oh, you know, they both kind of got a bad deal because of sexism.
Yeah, well, I think that show business turning against Trump is the craziest thing I've ever heard. I mean, like, I don't understand what's not to like about Trump if you're in show business. When you are hanging out with people on the right and the left, who do you think is funnier? Who's more fun to be around?
It kind of depends. I think there's going to be a bit of a revival on the left already with the new Sacha Baron Cohen show. I think that's, you know, I don't know what you call him.
Even his comedy is a dirty trick.
Yeah, I know. But that's sort of going back to the sort of old days of being a bit reckless and a bit Generation X, where you're just a bit reckless and fun and you're scattergun. And, you know, like he's got that character that takes the mickey out of a NPR listener and everything. I found that quite fresh. And I was quite enthused by that because, yeah, I think that kind of comedy is better than, just being a bit too. I love Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart's good, but you know that style of comedy where it's almost like you're presenting a thesis.
And it's like
watertight. And
you need people to agree with you a lot. It helps. Yeah.
I just don't get that. Like when I watched that first episode of Sacha Baron Cohen, and he's the first character is taking the mickey out of a conspiracy theorist. And then the next character is taking the mickey out of a NPR list. I'm just going, isn't that what should be done? Like, what's wrong? This is what's controversial about this. This is how comedy should be. Like, and not kind of like out of fairness or anything, but just out of comedy. It seems like comedy's about people are weird and the world's weird. Mm. And if you follow that logic, which is true, it's like people all over the shop are going to be a bit strange and weird. And you kind of just do jokes about everything because it's healthy. It's healthy.
Yeah, you can't leave.
When I was younger, it was like if you were on, like, well, I consider myself more like progressive in that, and it was just like a given that it's healthy to take the mickey out of yourself, and you loved it when you'd watch something that was taking the mickey out of what you believe because it's fun and healthy and recognition. But somewhere over the last 10 years, it's become like, yeah, you sort of only make jokes about your enemy and all this stuff like that, which I just find disagreeable.
I do too. I agree. And I think the left has completely lost its sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, like, and Saturday Night Live is not, it doesn't really, it doesn't go against that theory, you know? I mean, like, they seem to be taking it very seriously. A lot of mic drop comedy and stuff like that. And you know what? Comedy should not be damaged either way. There was a time when people could disagree and kind of, like, have a laugh about it, and it was great. So, you know, I appreciate you doing what you do, talking to everybody, making it funny, and taking the time. Your book is on Amazon, right?
Yes.
And it's called Depends What
You Mean.
By
extremists.
Yeah, you got it out quicker than I did.
I like that title.
It's a great book. Yeah, I highly recommend it. And and really great idea, man. You caught it right at the right time. You know, when it was actually kind of, you know, a growing thing, and now it's available just in time for people to buy people their Unite the Right 1 year anniversary gifts. thanks for being here, John. Have a great one.
No, thank you very much. Good to talk to you. Bye.
Happy birthday. See you later. Man, John Safran.
It's great.
Very good.
It's interesting to hear a third-party point of view of America.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're so immersed in it and our ideas on it. To hear someone who is ostensibly, you know, a little more impartial to impart their view of how things are going on or President Trump is.
I'm balls deep up in this country, you know what I mean? Like, I can't get
this. but again, we live in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the outside looking in, it's always interesting to talk to people from Europe and just hear what they have to say also, because it is so similar, but also so completely different in so many ways.
Well, Safran's a different kind of character anyway, being in Australia. But I mean, like, he's also like just, I mean, he's clearly, you know, politically, it's not hard to tell where he's at. But he's still kind of cool about it, you know? I mean, he talked to all these guys and stuff.
That's how liberals used to be 25 years ago.
He's an old-fashioned liberal. Yeah, but, I mean, a lot of people changed. Have you noticed that? A lot of people just really changed their whole...
Well, I think it was so healthy to be able to have a disagreement. I think that's such a disappointment is the fact of you're never going to change anyone's mind by shouting at them or saying you're an idiot. You're going to change someone's mind by hearing what they have to say and saying, all right, well, this is, you know, where do we find these commonalities? Where are we disagreeing? And let's find this common ground and go from there.
Yeah.
Instead of saying it's this idea of you're wrong and you're evil.
And that comes from the left. They're the only ones doing that.
Well, the thing is,
I feel as if most of the people on the right will talk.
The left is drunk on its cultural power. They have all this cultural power.
Well, they got the press.
And they have the press, they have Hollywood, they have academia, they have all of this. And they are obsessed with using that cultural power to make everybody else feel like they're idiots.
Yeah.
At every available opportunity.
Yeah, they like to educate us all the time. Have you noticed that?
That's the thing.
They always want to be explaining what exactly the deal is with trans
stuff.
All
of this comes from.
Press-splaining.
All this comes from. Press-splaining. Right. Press-splaining.
Don't you press-splain me.
It is interesting. Like, if you're in New York or I'm in L.A., where you definitely feel there's an extreme bias towards one side. Mm-hmm. And for them, I get it, where maybe if you're in Alabama or someplace that might be more conservative, maybe they feel this you know, the sense of, well, I'm this one voice in a lone sea. But but it is just what you said, where it feels like culturally, politically, everything that the left is really the dominant voice.
Right.
And to feel like, you know, they completely missed Trump because they were out of touch with most of
America. They were in a bubble.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of that was economical, too.
Of course.
Economics of it, because they watched their jobs kind of drift away, and they've gone towards other counties. And, you know, and their manufacturing jobs got added in other counties. You know, these small counties that went for Trump across America, they were in a bad position financially. And he was going out there saying, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, and
the average working person.
Yeah.
The Bruce Springsteen song guy.
A baseball player back in high school. Right. Yeah, all that shit. All that. You do a good Bruce, Bobo?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You do that. Let me hear whoa, whoa, whoa.
Come on, get around that hat. It was some weird thing that happened when someone said it from Jersey, so it reminded me of some old bit that Anthony did, like, you're the Jersey hard-working man. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's a whoa, whoa, whoa.
I didn't know he was just going to play a recording of Bruce Springsteen and pretend move his lips. Come on. Bobo.
Almost selling out the Garden really 12 nights in a row now.
Now, and we get it comes into policy, too, because we have a self-described schizophrenic. He threw a brick at a Washington Heights neighbor this week. He lunged at her with a knife, and he's back on the street in less than 24 hours after the cops picked him up. And everybody's shocked. They didn't expect him to be released so quickly, but they, you know, what they have limits as to what they can do. And I think they've also downgraded a lot of crimes now in order to bring these numbers down. And so, like, this just fits right in. Here's the schizophrenic guy right here. It says a picture of him. That makes you feel good. Yeah, see, he's like, you know, look at me. I'm out again.
Yep.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Bitch.
I thought he was flipping off the camera.
he's doing one of these, like, he looks like Raj from What's Happening.
Hey.
And
that's what's amazing is when we looked at.
He was also schizophrenic, by the way, Raj.
Mental illness. Now we've just said that this is not something we're going to keep people in care for. That we're going to release them. We're not.
We can't keep them.
Yeah, we can't keep them there.
We can't keep them.
And the reality is, you see, mental illness is something that's probably not going to be. You can't rationalize with it.
Right.
And not to say that someone's civil liberty should be taken away, but. We've seen though the downside of allowing people with mental illness back onto the streets is an increasing crime.
People getting beheaded, mothers being beheaded.
And even its quality of, you know, it's just general misery from having people just on the street. These are people, most of the homeless are mentally ill. And they
estimated it a quarter, which means it's 75%. But this guy is going to cut off a mother's head someday. You know what I mean? They do that frequently. They cut off somebody's head and they roll it across the street and jump in front of a train. This happened. They drown their mother in a pool like this guy in Long Island.
Yeah, I've heard it. Jump in front of the train first. And solve everyone's
right, yeah.
Right. Skip to
suicide,
the last
a viable option for these people. Or, you know, how about this? Lobotomies. Mandatory lobotomies for anybody who is.
Cuckoo's nest.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah.
They knew what they were doing.
But you know what?
There's a reason. He had their reason.
McMurphy should have never made that decision to go in there, by the way. Yeah. He was committed, and he needed a good lawyer, is what he needed more than anything. If McMurphy would have had a good attorney, that whole movie never would have happened.
Is this a commercial? Our new sponsor.
You need somebody advocating for you.
You know, it's amazing listening to the guy who crashed that plane.
The recording.
And listening to it where you're like, this guy clearly has some mental issues.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He has some depression going on because he's clearly suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least has something, but by all accounts, you know,
he was functional. He was a normal, functional guy.
Yeah.
And nobody saw it.
Not very good at landing.
He didn't try. To be fair, he didn't even try.
He didn't apply himself.
Right, that's exactly right.
That's what depression will do for you.
He said, I'm just going to do a barrel roll, and then I'm just going to
put it in the ground.
Nose it in and call it a night.
Put the nose down.
As, you know, stolen airplanes go and unauthorized flights, this is the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Get himself out in the plane. Yeah.
Right.
It's someplace where, nobody can get hurt. Was he in the water or was he in the woods? He was in the woods.
I think. He went into the woods.
Yes.
I would go in the water, I think.
He almost did.
But then you might be paralyzed and drown. You don't want that. But you want to be paralyzed and burn either.
Right.
The impact would have taken care of it. I mean, he hit pretty hard.
Do we have this video now of these officers being yelled at by this guy in this Bronx building? I think I sent that to you, Drew.
Let's see.
Yeah, it should be in an email. This is just it's just so annoying the way people yell at cops now. It happens.
I mean, do you remember growing up, there was such a respect for the badge?
Yes.
The idea of if you crossed a cop.
Yeah. I don't even think of it. I don't make eye contact
looking
with cops.
Sideways at them.
Yeah. I like cops. But on duty, they are there on business. You know, I saw last night. right here in New York City, something that it's become common now, I guess. These guys standing around with these submachine guns, you know?
Yeah,
nobody's saying fuck you to them.
No, yeah, they get a lot of respect.
So this is what we need to do. Give all cops automatic weapons at all times. Mm-hmm. It's backing off on all this shit that is making, it's emboldening them. Anytime you start talking about, like, perp rights and how the cops can't do this, they can't do that, and chokeholds and all that shit, and vilifying them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make things better. It doesn't make the community a happy place.
And you know what you got to do about that? Vote for Vicky Palladino for New York State Senate.
And if you don't, elect her.
There it is.
Vicky Palladino, too goddamn bad.
Too goddamn bad.
Too goddamn bad.
Exactly right.
Yes, she says what she means. She means what she says. And she'll continue to say it until you listen. And that's exactly who we want in state Senate. Vicky Palladino, that is 11th District. If you live over there in Queens, just go down on November what?
November 6th.
November 6th. Now, that's the primary?
No, primary September 13th.
Well,
if you are
do that
a
first.
Registered Republican, you please vote for us September 13th.
Can we do that anywhere, even if we're not in the district?
No, district. You have to be, if you are in Northeast Queens.
We're talking to a limited number of people
district.
Right now.
It's an important
a,
district.
Yes, it's a big district.
We can't lose that one, for Christ's sake. Yeah, we need all the people that we can get who have
exactly.
any kind of goddamn sense. What's up with you these days, Matt? What have you been up to? Have you talked about yourself a lot already on Kumia?
No. I mean, I'm doing a show on NBC while I'm getting drunk on the Compound Network.
The Pat Dixon Show.
Wow.
Nice.
We're doing it, you know, but it's so much fun for me because, again, you know, most people don't know, my career started doing stand-up comedy, and I'm such an advocate for freedom of speech and for people being able to express their minds, and I feel like this is a place, Compound Media is a place where it's one of the rare spots where people can come and express opinions and not be censored for them. And I think the idea of if someone says something you don't like, you don't take away their right to say it. You argue it with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I would much rather have someone who completely thinks opposite of me say, well, here's why I think the way it is and engage me in debate than to say, you have no right to say what you say and I'm taking away your platform to say it.
Oh, yeah.
I see someone like Gavin McInnes who has some, you know, ideas. And look, I think he's an entertainer and will take some extreme positions for entertainment spot. But on by and large, you're like, what has he said that would deserve him to be removed from Twitter?
And sometimes you have to say extreme things just to get people to pay attention or to think about their own positions.
It's a fart in a windstorm out there. You got to make a noise.
You know, it's important. It is. It's important to get people to examine what they actually believe, and saying extreme things gets them to do that.
And the fact that it become so off limits to be provocative. I thought that was the whole idea.
Right.
That's what I learned.
Much rather have someone be provocative or
engage
me and
say, that's what I mean.
Make me say something to the counter or prove me wrong. And that's the other thing, too. If you can convince me I'm wrong, great. I'm growing.
Yeah, but they
can't. Change my minds. But if you can't.
And that's why they have to shut you up. It's you know what? And you know who it is? You know who's on the left? Women. You know why?
Yes.
You know why that the reason the media skews left is because women buy on impulse, and they make a lot of emotional decisions. They don't need it explained
in
brass text.
This is what I say every
day. Facts don't matter. It's all about feelings.
Other than Vicky Palladino.
Other than Vicky. Oh, yes.
She's the exception.
She's one of the good ones. She's one of the good ones.
Good save.
But no, I say what you're saying all the time. My girlfriend is extremely, she gets very upset when I say these things.
It upsets your wife that you have a girlfriend.
She gets
brought these delicious cookies. Oh my God.
Yes, yes.
This is the best day of my life.
She threatens to stop making cookies when I talk
infused
like that.
With actual bacon. Yeah, so tell me about the, I should know, the show on NBC.
American Ninja Warrior. So it's on right now.
You're competing with yourself.
I'm competing with myself.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Right. We have a kids version that's going to be coming out in October on Universal Kids.
It's exactly, great.
Very family-friendly show. I don't know why I'm on here.
Just feel like taking a huge risk.
But again, to me, it's canceled. The reason that I love coming on Compound Media, the reason and here's the reality. I'll say yes, I'll go on any platform that will have me on. But what I love is
exclusive.
A place that will embrace different opinions, because I'm such a firm believer in the only way. It's a marketplace of ideas. That's why America is great. And so if you have a better idea, by all means, convince me.
Keep
but the
it
only
valid.
Way you do that is to allow people to express these ideas. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's, you know, again, I may disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. And you're seeing more and more that we're trying to, I mean, de Blasio was saying America would be a better place without Fox News. Like, how do you say that?
Wow.
As a politician.
Wow.
How do you say that the idea of taking away a dissenting opinion or opinion you disagree with is going to make it a better place?
He said we'd be more unified. He said we'd be more unified.
Everybody built on disagreement.
Right, exactly. Right. If everybody only got the same information from the same place, we'd all be unified.
Well,
that's
why the Muslims are a religion of peace. They're talking about the peace that ensues once everybody's Muslim.
Exactly.
And right. And that's exactly the same goddamn thing. Good. Let's take this call here, and then we'll get out of here. What's going on? Radio? Is somebody named Radio? Hello, Radio.
It's Cuba Gooding Jr.
Hey, Pat, love the show. How are you doing, man?
Oh, great. Thank you very much. And you had a question for...
I got a question for Matt. I follow you guys all on Twitter. I noticed it was funny because ISIS faggot, he complimented you on Twitter, and I saw that Akbar repeated him. Like, is there a lot of stress dealing with, like, trying to explain to people what all these people that are reaching out to you are, or do you ever have to address
you know what?
That at all?
What's funny is I saw that comment, and my co-host liked it. And he would not be someone who you would expect to like that comment. And look, the reality is it's one of those things where should we be held accountable for people who like us or for people who you go on? Again, I would much rather Mike Rowe had said this where, you know, people condemned him for going on. Some of his fans condemned him for going on CNN. Some of them condemned him for going on Fox News. Mm-hmm. And it's like going on a show doesn't mean you endorse every position that person has. Mm-hmm. It just means you're having a dialogue. And what's so wrong in this country with reaching out to people who you may agree with or may disagree with, but starting a dialogue and having these conversations? And so if some of these people who have unusual Twitter handles happen to say nice things, again, I'm like, I don't know why this is necessarily... why you should be held accountable for everything somebody thinks if you say hello to them.
Yeah.
If you make a comment, all of a sudden you're endorsing every single position that person has. Why is this going on? I think that's such a negative point of view and such a way that stifles really the furthering of the dialogue in this country, which is what we need to be doing.
It's the toddlerization of America.
Yes.
It really is. Hey, thanks for the call, Radio.
Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
The question. Yeah, good you. Question. You know, I wonder about that, too, sometimes. That's what happened to Milo. You know, his followers were the ones who harassed, Leslie Jones. Mm-hmm. And he paid the price.
He did.
And Proud Boys also, like one guy punches a guy who's attacking him at a fucking thing. And they go, violence. They're involved with violence.
Wait, a great punch.
Oh, it's the best. The best. My God.
And you saw him.
What a swing.
Being attacked with an asp.
Right.
He's already been hit with this fucking thing. Yeah, they threw fireworks, explosives into the midst of these guys. They were attacked.
It was great.
But they're counter-protesters. That's the nomenclature that really matters.
Mostly,
fuck them.
Mostly peaceful.
Mostly peaceful counter-protesters. come on. Jesus Christ. Well, I have to eat the rest of these cookies now. And we have, we're done show-wise. We want to end strong. Leave you wanting more. It's never happened yet, but today's the day.
Today's the day.
I want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. She always wants more and less. This is what I was going to eat, so now I don't have to eat. Brought my own snack. Fuck this. That's but tonight's show is brought to you by cigarettes. Yeah, cigarettes. Make sure you smoke one. Smoke them if you got them. There's no time like the present. You know what? If you don't have any illnesses yet from smoking, well, where's your proof? Cigarettes. You go ahead and take yourself a nice break. All right, Matt Eisner, thanks for sitting in, man. That was great.
Thank you.
Thomas Palladino.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
You
come back
too.
Again.
This is great.
And thanks to Elizabeth for these delicious cookies. Oh, my God.
Yes.
And thanks to my guest, John Safran. Get his book, Depends What You Mean by Extremists. Thank you, Big A. And you too, Bobo, for playing that clock earlier. And to our weatherman, happy birthday, Jimmy Blackman, our meteorologist, Drew Peter. And thanks, Anthony Cumia, for letting us do this show.
Woo! Yay.